Hey, I'm doing another morning in paradise. And we are pushing forward. It was interesting. I woke up from an interesting dream. It was, I can't really say much about it, except it seemed to be about Egyptians and Kardashians. The interesting thing is there actually was something about this. I don't keep up with Kardashians at all. And Kim Kardashian has, in the distant past, about 10 years ago, was involved in some kind of an Egyptian mummy, sarcophagus type thing. Ooh, guy, the gas prices are getting lower. That's good. Take advantage of it while I can. Anyway, so I thought it had to do with writing. I thought somebody was trying to get me into kind of a partnership for writing, creativity. Or this was a kind of a lucrative writing venture. It kind of makes itself more interesting. Some Rick Riordan books have been basically thrown away at the local library a while back. I haven't taken the time to read any of them. But he's kind of gotten into Egyptian mythology. And an interesting thing is that there's a lot of similarities apparently between some Egyptian things and our modern temple. I don't know where to go with any of that. Then I was scrolling through some of my stuff and seeing investment things. It got me thinking about investments. And I said, oh, you know what? Never mind. I need to make sure that everything's okay. So with the most important investment, which was investment in God's work. I've always talked about being aligned with God's agenda. Most important thing is to, when you have the time for it, invest in that. Cruise control going here. Don't have to worry so much about what speed I'm at, because my tendency is I start thinking, I start slowing down. And that's a bad thing, because I need to get to my destination. A reasonable amount of time. Now I'm early today, so it's not really that big of a deal. So I'll probably let myself go a little slower. Run across any vehicles. Being funny, I don't have to worry about that. Anyway, so it's a big question of how does one invest in God's work? And you go, you know what? The law of consecration, a good portion of that can be through LDS, not LDS, philanthropies, so that whatever you have upon death, you give to the church. Now, you can get an annuity from it until you don't need it anymore. And in the church, goes through the effort of figuring out best investments and stuff like that. Good circumstances. So I still need to get with Joe about information to get about that. I don't feel like I really have enough money to be interesting on that level yet. But the time may come. and that becomes a consecration to the Lord, to the church. You know, if you talk about diversification, there's, I don't know if you need to diversify from the Lord. I don't think that's very, I don't think you need to diversify that way. Like being in a whole bunch of things that have Jesus stickers slapped on the side of them. So many things are like that, you know. At times I've given thought to trying to do something like that, but it really never panned out, and it's probably just as well. It's one of those things about having a stupor of thought about something. Don't do that, you know. But that becomes part of your portfolio of what the church actually gets to acquire and use for whatever need the church has for it. Anyway, real estate, I think, is good. I don't hold real estate particularly. I've got a house, and I pay basically what I call storage fees to, for the squatter house, Goldilocks next door. Beyond that, you know, you got a few little doodads here and there, but nothing of any value. You know, vehicles do not constitute value particularly. What else am I doing? It ends up being stocks and bonds. I've got quite a bit of that stuff that I could hand over to somebody who's much better suited to caring for these sorts of investments, which I really don't. And I don't know. It's an interesting idea. So yeah, I do need to contact my brother Joe about an interesting way to interface with these things. Like I said, I don't think I have enough resources to really be terribly interesting at the moment, but you know, it could be good down the road. Give it all to the Lord, the Lord's church, and let them figure it all out. That sounds interesting and good. So maybe that's what led me down. Although I don't know what the Kardashian Egyptian thing is, but it's really interesting because we're listening to a lady that has really piqued Lisa's interest. And she's going to write a book, I think, at some point. And there's a certain amount of, you know, do you want to get involved in this thing? Because she's really gone to the whole point of marriage ceremonies, the temple, these things being discussed very heavily in the scriptures, and you're going, everything's in some kind of code. And there's been a lot of things about, you know, President Nelson often speaks in code. And I'm more of a Nephi type, pure and simple, you know, since I don't get into this, but I think Lisa finds this fascinating. And boy, it really did come back. The thing that really came back to me was, and everybody says that Joseph Smith made all this stuff up, you know, and it's like, how do they make this stuff happen. Oh, that also reminds me, that property out here, Ragland Hill, very much something I'm looking at acquiring. I don't think it's really worth very much. It says, but for my purposes, I'd really like to acquire that. And I've been looking at, it's called Permies, and it's about people who are into permaculture. I forget what this guy's name is. Wheaton. I think it's Wheaton. Anyway, and he is a prime publisher of permaculturist stuff. All of his kind of outhouses on skids, he calls them willow things because he says the stuff that comes out of us is really excellent for willow trees and giving them a lot of fertilizer. You know, you don't want to eat off of the stuff that you produce. The people who had to do that in Europe ended up having to boil everything just to kill off all the buggies that came out of people, because people, you know, we tend to collect a lot of buggies, being kind of an apex species on this planet. You know, we tend to collect all of the various problems of eating food collected from other things. Of course, you know, this all comes from having chemicals in our food supply. That's what RFK Jr. has kind of figured out over time. And he's kind of joined forces with Donald Trump. I really like Kennedy. Says, I was really kind of, if he was going to stay in the presidential race for the president, you know, if he was going to run for president, I was trying to talk Lisa into voting for him. And, well, anyway. So, yeah, so Permies, doing permaculture sort of things out on this 80 acres, which I'm getting close to where this 80 acres is. You even see it at night if you need to. So that's something that I'm looking to invest in. And I think the church is much more interested in lands and property. They bought a ton of land in Florida a long time ago. It's called Deseret Ranch now. And it came pop back up in the news because apparently it's going to be annexed into Orlando, Florida circumstance. I don't know exactly why, but I don't understand any of it. But the church itself acquires this kind of stuff as investments. Now, you know, I'm not going to invest very much. This thing isn't a big property at all. Although it is 80 acres. 80 acres is a pretty big chunk compared to a city lot, that's for sure. And you know, the church may choose to do something more interesting to it, maybe try to sell it a larger portfolio, but it's still the Lord's stuff to have. And I would be able to have the use of it for as long as I want to use it. So anyway, yeah. We're getting close to it again. And so we're slowly going up the ridge that goes up here. When they did the bypass, when they actually turned this road into something that you could do high speed, it chopped off a good chunk of this land, and it made it so that access to it's really bad, but it's there. There is access to it. And these the state owns a highway maintenance place here, just right next to it. It's the property next door. And that means you'll always have power to it. You always have various things. Right next to it is also a cell phone tower. A couple of cell phone towers, actually. Two different organizations own two different towers. For what purpose and to what service that is, except for the fact that this has some hidden oil reserves, not the 80 acres I'm on particularly, but the land around it. It's also surrounded by there's some state-owned land just to the north of this property. A lot of the stuff around it is owned by a gentleman that I actually have an acquaintance with. You know, may not think much of me. A lot of people don't, especially as I've so I became somebody of some. A couple of seconds of stature. Chief information officer for a little podunk university. The first thing I said was, these guys need to sell out to, you know, we need to combine with Eastern North Dakota University from a resource standpoint. Anyway, so, anyway, yeah. So I'm looking at this 80 acres out here to see how much they would want for. All I know, they want $1 million for it. You go, what justifies your $1 million price tag? What exactly does that mean? And I don't know. I really don't. So I need to find a better way to contact them, along with other things. I've got several things I need to do. One of them is I need to secure this travel credit card for my employment. Rained up here too. Yay! Means there's water in that area. It would be good to try and figure out what kind of water situation there is down there. Of course, it could be incredibly muddy. Kind of gives the impression of being just kind of it's breakland. And that's always tricky circumstances. Anyway, so okay, what else we got going? I got it's kind of a Chinese trying to make use of old chip stock. Fellow that got a whole bunch of old 386 type microprocessor all-in-one computer chips and turned them into this little mini laptop. That's a pretty commodity little stretchy item. If you want to do something amazing with it, don't bother, because there's nothing really amazing to do with it. It ends up being a really good little DOS box. I'm only a single user, and I only do a single task at a time. I'm not really a multitasker particularly. There's the possibility, you know, it's a 386, so you can cut it into several virtual 8086 virtual machines to a degree. And it would be good to put an operating system on there that's suited to that kind of situation, but only if you really need multiple tasks going on at the same time, which I personally don't, especially since it's been rendered as just a little laptop. If it was rendered a different way, and there's no reason it can't be rendered a different way, it's right there. It only costs me just right around $200, and good for taking care of my needs. It's got a little bit of mousy architecture on it, but not necessary. It's good in that I can get it approved probably to take into a SCIF, and that'll be its ultimate functionality, is to go into that SCIF so I can just go and I can type away on things, and doesn't have problems. A personal piece of electronics I can take into a SCIF. So I'm getting it kind of rigged up the way I like it. I always like DOS Navigator in the day, although I can get NDN instead, which is a more open source, at least it was back in the day. I'm talking back about 15 years. For what's really necessary. It might be good to get, I don't know, you know what? I don't know if I really care. The problem is, you really want to get operating system software. The really great thing is, this thing was probably a really excellent unit at the apex of MS-DOS. Going too fast. And so some of the very long, and all this stuff is abandonware. Nobody cares about this whole DOS stuff at all. So you can pick it up for, you know, you can just get it for the price of downloading. And nobody cares. And to be honest, my own personal needs, I'm a keyboard guy. So it's really nice. This thing's got a little miniature keyboard, but you can hook up a better keyboard to it. The best keyboards are old PS2 keyboards, and I've got one. Actually, I think I've maybe got two. These things are really quite coveted now, but I've got the little add-ons to add a VGA monitor. This thing only really uses two kinds, you know. They're really basic. It doesn't do SVGA, it just does VGA. Although you could probably get, you know, the actual graphics card for it. You could actually get an SVGA if you wanted to. Regardless. I've got that little thing that I can take to work. I've worked out how to get a really big memory stick attached to it, which happens to be in my pocket right now. Take it with me. And this thing can go into SCIFs. And it isn't a bad little composition computer. I've already got it rigged well, mostly with WordStar, but WordStar really talks well to all of the innovative software of the time. And that's really what you're looking for, is trying to make sure that you've got a good rig for the time. And so now I've done the experiments, and I can easily put files that I work on onto this USB, and the USB continues to work in modern computers. My little PeeWee, which is a Windows 10 box, it does a wonderful job. So, looks like I'm trying to put things together in a good way. I don't know if I'm really quite ready to pursue that property yet. I don't think anybody's really very interested in it. I kind of want to make sure that I have sufficient funds to just buy it outright. I'm not going to find any kind of a loan that's any good. Plus, I don't want to do it based on a loan. I want to do it based on money. So I probably want to, well, you know, it might be good to get kind of a sense for how much they want for it, how much they're looking at, just to see if it's worth anything at all, instead of investing in something else instead. It doesn't water any rush land, so it's not interesting to the Russians. If for some reason they need $10,000 or some such, you know, I could, you know, I would imagine it would sell for somewhere between, hopefully 10 to 20 grand, which is actually quite a bit for 80 acres of just what would be considered by most worthless land. It's got value to me. That's why I'm buying it. And then I also think it's the kind of investment that the church would find interesting when I were to give it over to them as consecration. If some kind of wonderful product was found on it after I acquired it, says I just need water. But if I went and started digging around in there and you said, oh, look, there's gold, or oh, look, there's silver, or some kind of mineral or something like that, that all of a sudden would make it much more valuable, that would be interesting. Here's my turn. Oops. And, of course, I missed my turn, as I always do. Because let me tell you, it doesn't give you a lot of warning, because it's not a particularly wonderful, not a lot of people use it. So, yeah, got to be careful. I don't want to do a lot of investments right now. We've done some little investments for Lisa, stock stuff mostly. I may invest in some. I don't really like REITs. I'm just sorry. I don't have a good philosophy of them. I'm not interested in encouraging people to rent. I think that's. I don't think that's particularly wise. I've got a friend who's looking to buy a house, and it's probably not a very good one. However, you know, she's got kids, and to be a homeowner is a little tricky because you don't have somebody else that just takes care of the place for you. Of course, Tucum Carey's got such a bad habit of not being a good landlord place. Almost everybody just tries to do an owner finance sale. That's how people make their money. And it's really designed to be kind of an income without you having to put forth any effort at all, particularly. And it would be, I don't know, it's not a bad deal. I sold our big house in Tucum Carey for good interest payments, and, you know, it paid us about $1,000 a month for 10 years. Really excellent money. That's really the best thing to do in Tucum Carey is to acquire junk properties, fix them up enough, and then owner finance to people. I really did very well out of that, and it certainly made my friend Mickey very happy. Maybe that's what I'm planning to do with I didn't quite make it, but pretty close. To sell our property it's pretty crappy. Roll down some windows. Okay. So that might be something to do with our little house in Tucum Carey. Even if you go, well, we're only going to sell it for, you know, $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000, and you go, yeah, I don't know, maybe. I really should have gone the forward way as opposed to the back way. The back way, if there's a lot of water, you get kind of stuck out here in the middle of nowhere. Although I've got my high-slung vehicle today, I might be okay. I got to take it easy. Be careful. Anyway, turn around and sell that as a regular income. I don't, you know, the neighbors I have, I'm not very, oh boy, here's... there's the circumstance. Yeah. Oops. There was my water coming in. So, that might be something to do there to get that house sold for basically just an owner finance deal. I'll finance it for you. It says, but you need to keep throwing money at me. He says, and I'm not, you know, he says, I'm not interested in anything else. And you don't mind if it's really cheap. And you go, oh, it only makes $300 a month. And you go, well, there's 300 from this, there's 300 from that, there's 300 from this other thing. You know, it's a little bit here and there. And it ends up being, you know, not a bad thing, especially if they go, well, I can only afford so much. And you go, but I'll do it for 30 years. And you go, okay, 30 years it is. And you clean up these places and you resell them. Or you don't clean them up. And you go, hey, man, it's in reasonably, you know, it's the understructure's good. It says it's in pretty good shape. Anyway, so you know, you make it worthwhile to somebody. although to be honest, the things I've done to it don't make it particularly all that wonderful, but, you know, you sell it out for basically nothing. And I think it's better than when I got it. So I wouldn't make it worth a lot, you know, and it'd definitely be an owner finance deal, which makes it worth it for me. You know, it might, it wouldn't be good for somebody what's her name? It wouldn't be something for somebody that had some kids, a single mom with a bunch of kids. It might be good for a single mom with just one kid, maybe two. It might be good for that kind of a circumstance. Who's looking for something really inexpensive that would fit in their budget. And for my part, you know, you go, oh yeah, this is, it's a 30 year stretch out. Okay, now I'm not going to get lost. But this could be a tricky road for water. So this is good to know right now. We had some rains and some flash flooding. So now's a good thing to find out if this is a decent road to take. It's not really an all-weather road, to be honest. It's paved. It's good that way. But if it rains, you really do want to take a whole nother road, which you have. The road going from Melrose to Tucumcari is an all-weather road. You know, there's rare circumstances where that's not an accessible road. This one's tricky for other reasons. Although I can't say much, I tell you, I've taken the Sandy car on really big adventures. There was wrecks on Interstate 40, which you would be surprised happen often enough to be a problem. It was faster to get to the crash site often through a different road. You know, to stay on the interstate, just use the interstate, go through Albuquerque and go down that way. That's actually the best time savings if you need it. But if you didn't have to, taking back roads was a lot better because I would hit wrecks sometimes. There was this one wreck I tried to divert from. I had noticed that there was a road that went from Milagro to Vaughn, and I didn't know how just absolutely tricky that road was, but and it had rained a lot, so there was some rain problems, and I was worried the whole way, ulcer worried, getting through that thing. There was actually a family, I think they were from Mexico, who decided to take that back road too and follow me, which I thought that was funny because it's like, why are you following me? As if I know what I'm doing. We stopped and kind of knocked some of the mud off and got some gas because I was nearly out of gas too. In Vaughn, at the Alps Vaughn. And we talked a little bit, you know, and they were just like, oh yeah, we're from here and we're trying to do this and that. And we were diverting from that road too. And I was like, and so they said, we were following you. And I said, you know what? I wasn't really sure I was on the right road or not. But I was. I found out that it was an interesting back road and dirt the whole way. Once you got a little bit away from the interstate itself, it was just a dirt road and, tricky. So, That was one of my adventures. So yeah, doing the little place in Raglan isn't much of an adventure at all. For purposes. This isn't too bad. And be able to get a good circumstance there. I don't know if I have to overcome Lisa's trepidations about this stuff, or simply just say, Lisa, we're going to do this, cope, and try to make the sick situation. You know, the situation might be a whole lot better if I can get her a stove. She was really kind of into the solar stove. We could probably do something a little more along that line to make it work better. And if I was able to get her a good big propane cooktop oven situation, you know, she really doesn't like the kitchen she has. It doesn't suit her very well. If we could come up with something that made it so that she could enjoy cooking. Now it's tricky because with all this gluten-free garbage, she's really kind of in kind of a fix. So to be honest, I think I would be much more, so far the roads aren't too bad, but there's definitely water things. So in the future, I should probably be a little more apt to go the Melrose route to get to work, especially in winter time when there's a snow possibility. So, what do I need to do? Anyway, the nice thing is the places that I actually work for is the military, and they're somewhat set for providing a cot for people so that they can sleep at the base. There's showering facilities, although there's not enough for extended needs like that. But they're available. Anyway, so something bad really happens. I get caught in a snowstorm and I'm at work. Not bad for me at all. What else do I need to really say here? Yeah, so as I think about this stuff, I really do think about the whole thing about how does one do consecration these days? And I go, I know how consecration gets done now. It says it gets done through LDS philanthropies. And you become a philanthropist. And you ultimately sign over all of your stuff to the church. That's kind of the modern way of doing it. The old way of doing it was more, where's my water? Not that water. The other water. Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. Okay. Whoa. There we go. Okay. And I would still have the same basic effect of turning over all the stuff to the church and letting the church use it for whatever purposes it needs to use it for. You know, I think it would ultimately be something decent for a retiree. You know, Tucumcari is not a bad place to put up retirees. And to give the church that house, Because they've certainly got the resources to just turn it into whatever they want to turn it into for investment purposes. I really don't. And so that might be the best way to handle that house once we establish ourselves. On skids, permies, and get Lisa the circus that she went. She really enjoyed it when we had our couch or a good lounging place to sit. In the kitchen, in our house on 4th Street, we kind of turned the front room into our dining room, and the place where they used to do dining, which was just a little kind of almost a nookie kind of a thing, ended up being being where we put our little sofa. And that was where Lisa liked to go to read and things like that, because it kept her really close to the kitchen, and she faced the kitchen so she could see how the cooking was going. And I think she really liked that. The way it goes now, it doesn't go really quite as well. And I set up Matt. We always tend to get Matt's leftovers, you know, after Matt updates something. Like right now, one of my computer monitors is his old TV, and it does a fine job. I'm quite happy with it. And I need to upgrade my, I'm upgrading my two server computers to be, to actually run better off of solar, make them 12 volt. And so I'm looking at that possibility. You know, if I rig it right, we can do the 24 volt. You always double up on things. You always get two 12-volt things connected to a 24-volt source. And you go, works great, you know. And you can shove 24-volt a lot harder down things. And you tend to put batteries right close to where you are. My main system is probably best suited being 24 volt because I have 30 volt panels. And so you shove everything out there at 24 volts to get charged. But then you, once you're inside your little building, you kind of, you know, either keep it at 24, put it down to 12, and you run things off of 12. Anyway, so that's kind of what I'm looking at there. So I need to go ahead and I need to be making a list when I get to work. More tricky water circumstances. So I need to enjoy this road when conditions are good. And I need to use the Melrose situation when it's a little dicey, which it is kind of this morning. It's a little dicey. It'd be good if I had something to kind of remind me. Make sure you go down this other road besides this road to take advantage of that situation. What else? Yeah. So I'm still all up on the 80 acres. If I can get it kind of cheap, because it is kind of a piece of property, but I think it has water possibilities, especially after these occasional rainstorms. As long as you can grab the water coming down, you know, do kind of a dam sort of a thing. And then use that as the water where you put a pump to pump it up to your water storage, which I have some. I've got my water storage tanks, and I need to use them better. I'm glad they're painted black. That'll keep them warm. My biggest problem with freezing water is that I actually didn't have it out in the sun. I had it out someplace else. And it's like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to do this. Anyway, so going through Ranchvale, those will be good circumstances. And I know that we had bought those at some point just for simple water storage. And we're probably going to do it for better water storage somewhere else. You know, those things aren't going to make the old house easy to sell. So that's something I really need to get out of. Plus, little house may be good. You know, I don't know what Sam's going to do, but I get the impression that Sam's really just not going to. If he goes back into the military, he won't be back in the military, but from one enlistment. That may be helpful, but if one of the kids wants to live in that house or wants to buy it from us, that would be a fine thing to do. And just make it so, you know, can you skip a couple of payments sometimes? You go, yeah, you can do that. You know, I'm going to keep my, that's some of my inflow money is to do that, whether it's my kids or whether it's somebody else's. It's always an owner finance deal. It says, no, it's yours. It says you can improve on it if you want to, you know. Well, however, and yeah, put it on skids, the other properties. That would make it much nicer. That would make Lisa a lot happier. Can I be honest? So, anyway. I don't hear a lot of good things about free-range goats. Free-range chickens, more likely. But not free-range goats particularly. So you'd really want to have a ram to get you some little goatlings, little kids. To give us something to do. Whoops. Anyway, so thinking about several things. Good things keep coyotes away, because that's going to end up being one of our bigger issues is the coyote problem and how you handle that. Anyway, it's early. It's 6:36. Good gravy, it's early in the morning. But, you know, at the end of the day, that just means that I can leave earlier. But they don't have any great need for me. Sitting around in a break room puts some pressure on some things. Lisa doesn't have to worry about being scared of things because Matt's there. She's always got a built-in person until I'm her built-in person. And then we can economize all we want. As long as you can put it on skids, you can economize on it. And you go, I don't ever intend to move the things, but the ability is there. Anyway, so, yeah. I got to get this down better. Okay. So, oops. I'm coming the wrong way. Cutting in there a little hard. Sam ultimately wants to kind of pull together. Boy. Didn't know we had so much traffic at 6:30, but we do, 6:40. So anyway, I got to take off and talk. But this is good because this is what makes me think. Talk to you later. Bye.